Jesus Fix It, the Good Morning Radio Podcast with Seth and Jess.
It's gonna be May.
No.
It is May. It had to be done.
Did it?
It had to be done. I am a 90s girl. I had to give a Justin Timberlake on. If you know, you know.
Okay, well, you know what the good side of that is? It's done. And we don't have to do that again.
Okay. Hey, y'all. It is the month in wrap-up or the April
wrap-up situation. And there was a lot of stuff that happened this month.
I know. It was.
So much happened this month.
But we only have about 15 minutes, so we're only going to do about 15 minutes worth.
Okay.
Let's talk about some current events.
Let's do that.
Well, we're current. Are they still current if we're talking about it after the fact?
Because we're talking about it, it's still current. That's how much influence we wish we had.
We're relevant-ish.
Yeah. I have relevance.
Okay.
Oh, no, I meant relatives. Anyway, let's talk about, can I just jump in with the sale of Twitter? Can we just approach this?
Okay.
So my mother-in-law, bless her heart, had the funniest comment about it at all. She was asking me about what was going on and how it happened. I was explaining.
They sold the Twitter.
Right, exactly. And I was explaining Elon Musk, right, of Tesla fame and SpaceX fame.
Richest man in the world.
Yes, he just bought Twitter.
He said, yo, I want to buy your company.
Exactly. And she goes, where did he come up with all that money? And it just cracked me up.
When you told me that, first of all, bless her heart. That blessed me so much. I just cracked up. But then I was like, you know what? My mom, she doesn't know who Elon Musk is either.
No. And what I love about the whole thing is Elon saw the opportunity, and there's all the discussion of why and what's going to happen with it. That's one thing. But he saw the opportunity to buy it, and he bought a large chunk.
Yeah.
And then he thought, well, why don't I just buy the whole thing? And he made the offer. This is what's really, and okay, it's the financial part of me. He made the offer, and the rest of the shareholders were like, oh, no, we're not, we're not going to sell it to you. We've got this plan in place that will prevent you. And he comes back and goes, did I mention $44 billion in cash?
What you say now?
Exactly. Like, oh.
You got cash. You got cash.
That's entirely different.
You have cash now.
Yeah, just go ahead. Did you bring your pen? Did you bring the checkbook? Go ahead and sign here, and we're done. So there's a couple little hoops that it has to jump through, but it's a done deal.
Regardless of where you stand on all the politics of Twitter and the whole freedom of speech, whatever your stance on all of that situation, we ain't gonna get into that today. Yeah. But if somebody offered you cash Monday, what would you do?
If I were I'd be like,
honey, where are we flying to today?
Exactly.
No, we're going to go there tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Where do you want to fly to today? Just pack your bags. We taking the PJ to the islands. That's private jet. Just in case.
Oh, I thought.
PJ, private jet. Private jet.
I wouldn't know because I've never been on a private.
We ain't that rich yet.
Yeah, I've never even been on a private jet. I've seen them.
Right.
I haven't been on it.
Right. It's going to be a while. Okay. What else happened?
Do we need to remind people? Nonprofit organization. It's going to be a long time.
And we're cool with that.
So one of the other things that happened I thought was really, really interesting is the Red Bull stunt team tried to do this amazing, ridiculously dangerous airplane stunt.
Break it down for – just give a brief
– okay.
Just for people who may not know about what the whole situation was.
Red Bull has a competition team. They all do these amazing sport things and stunts and so forth. So they decide to have two airplanes take off.
And these people – the two guys that piloted the planes, they're cousins.
They're cousins. They're professional pilots and professional skydivers.
Mm-hmm.
So they were going to take the planes up, get them close to each other, put them in a dive heading toward the ground. Then each pilot would jump out of his own airplane.
They would activate the autopilot.
Right. As it's plummeting to Earth, they would jump out of their own airplanes, fly, you know, kind of – go over to the other person's plane, get in it, and then land safely. That was the plan.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of worked and kind of didn't.
Yeah.
One person made it into the other plane and landed it safely.
Mm-hmm.
The other one didn't get to the plane in time. It crashed.
But he's safe.
But he pulled his parachute and came down safely. It was a very scary situation.
They practiced and practiced. And they went over all the safety protocols. But this is the thing. TSA was like, don't do this.
Yes, they and there's like, still maybe some fallout.
Yeah,
for it.
They're investigating the situation right now, but it's like, I didn't know until I watched all of the news reports and everything mm-hmm. leading up to it. Because mm-hmm. I was just like, what?
Yeah.
This is fascinating.
Yeah.
I didn't know until after the fact that TSA was like, I think it's TSA, right?
Right.
Was like, y'all better not do this.
Yeah.
I didn't know that they were advised to not do this.
FAA, not TSA. TSA are the guys with that give you the hi, how you doing at the airport.
Oh, yeah.
The FAA is the government.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah.
There we go.
Well, the peoples didn't make the flying rules.
The government was not happy.
Right. Yeah. I had no idea that they were like, we know what y'all are going to do, mm-hmm. but you bet not.
Right.
I didn't know.
And, see,
and they were like, I don't know, there's a part of me that's like, guys, I know you really want to do this, but you knew the rules. I guess the mom in me is like, now listen.
Uh-huh.
We told you not to do this. I appreciate that you really wanted to do it, but see, now look, see?
Mm-hmm.
Did you learn your lesson?
And there's the guy in me that is like, yeah, I know you're saying not to do it. I know you're saying it's too dangerous. We're going to do it anyway. Go for it.
You have a kid.
Yes. And if
you're supposed to be the parent in this situation.
I am the parent, but I'm also a guy that likes to push boundaries and take challenges and
this is a heck of a boundary.
Squeeze every drop out of life. I've done some really stupid things. And most of them I've been very happy with the outcome.
But you know, if you go back, y'all can YouTube this, mm-hmm. by the way, and just look at the interview and all this stuff. I was watching the one guy who didn't make it
right.
into the other plane and had to activate
down.
His parachute. And he was able to joke a little bit.
Yeah.
He was like, I love parachutes, by
right.
the way.
After he changed his pants.
Right. but he had tears in his eyes. And he was just like, I don't know what I did wrong. I'm going to have to assess the situation. But he was like, trying to hold it together.
Yeah.
Like you could tell he carried all this blame and he had his little girl in his lap giving the interview. And you could just tell there was just so much disappointment. And
sure.
it was like, I'm a failure. I failed. And I just felt so bad for him. I was so torn because just looking at his face, looking at, you know, his eyes well up with tears. It was like, I felt so sorry for him on
yeah.
one hand, and then on the other hand, it was like, now they told you not to do it.
They told you not to.
Now, see, so, I was just torn.
What do you think? Do you think, depending on what happens with fallout as far as the regulations, maybe penalties, do you think they'll try it again? Do you want them to try it again?
I do not want them to try it again, but they were talking like they would.
Yeah.
And I think they should just let this go.
Mm-hmm.
I think you should thank God nothing happened and you got away with your life. Now, let this be a lesson to you.
I see the point.
I know you really wanted it. You gave it your best shot. And thank the Lord you walked away from this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let it go. You didn't make it.
Mm-hmm.
Let it go. Now, if he gets up there and try it again, I'm just like, listen.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-mm. No.
But see, my counterpoint to that is, that's the American way. You
not
don't let it go.
Not
you try it again.
Okay, for some... See, Seth, no. See, we're about to argue right now.
All right.
For some things, yes. You,
right.
you persevere, you press on.
Right.
You don't make it, then you fail forward. In this case,
right.
you thank God you make it, you made it,
mm-hmm.
and you move on to something else.
I hear
this
you.
This ain't it, Chief.
For
no.
you. For you. But for them, this may be the thing that's like, no, we got to do it again. We got to try
this
again.
This may be the sign. If God was trying to give you a sign
yeah.
that you should move on and be thankful to have your life, this is it.
And I think there's a big difference as to is what you're trying to do, will it advance humanity and society
right.
in a way? Like those individuals that made the ultimate sacrifice for space flight,
mm-hmm.
it still chokes me up. I went to the Air and Space Museum and I can actually, I'm emotional just remembering this. Gus Grissom's watch that he was wearing in the capsule when it caught fire and he and the other astronauts perished. His watch was donated by his wife to the museum.
Mm-hmm.
Those individuals and the others that have perished in the pursuit of space flight, That's when you say, we have to keep going. Right. We must keep going.
There are,
but we can't give up. We've got to try again. I get it. And that's, I guess that's part of me is like, there's this thing that you, it's like, you don't give up, you keep trying. But to create.
For that though.
Yeah, I see your point.
So many things.
The stunt, the incredible stunt is like.
For just that stunt.
Is it worth it?
For your own personal. For your own personal gain. No. Okay.
Yeah.
For, like you said, space exploration.
Right.
When the space shuttle Challenger.
Oh, yeah.
Exploded.
Yeah.
Okay, that was traumatic. I was in fourth grade, mm-hmm. watched it go down in real time.
Yep, me too. Me too. I was in Florida at the time.
Yeah, but you know what? We continue to explore.
Right.
It's necessary.
We don't give up.
We have to.
You learn.
You learn, you find out what happened, and you
right.
shuttle another flight.
Yep.
Okay? The civil rights movement.
Yes.
When people got beat with hoses, got knocked down, people died. People,
yes.
But people kept on marching.
Right.
That was worth the fight. That was worth pressing on.
Agreed.
You want to do the stunt to prove that you did it, and your plane goes down, and you got mm-hmm. out of it. Is that worth trying again?
Yeah. I see your point.
Nah.
I see your point.
Do you see what I'm saying?
I do. I completely get it. It's just, if I were the guys that were doing it, I think I'd probably be the one that was like, all right, let's look at let's roll tape and see where it went wrong.
Right.
How can we do it right next time?
Yeah. I mean, when you compare it to space exploration, civil rights right. movement, what's humanity gaining from this?
Yeah. I hear you. I do.
Okay.
I hear you.
All right. Long as I prove my point. Okay.
I'm not saying you're right. I hear you, though.
All righty. All right. Next thing, let's talk about the Kentucky man that was awarded $450,000
yeah.
after his employer threw him a birthday party he didn't even want.
Yeah, that was the whole thing is that it was – well, think about it. You've been to a restaurant, right, on your birthday, and here they come. You're at the restaurant.
That actually happened to me.
Happy birthday yes. to you. It is the worst, like, most awkward thing ever.
Are we doing this? Oh, it's happening. Oh gosh. It's happening. Here we go.
I can't tell you. Every time we go out to dinner for my birthday, I make it known to everyone, don't do that.
Don't do this.
I don't want any singing. I
Get
don't
up and
want
leave.
The.
Yeah.
No, please don't do this.
But bring me that cake, though.
Well, yeah. I mean, can we do the cake without the singing?
Right.
But see, his situation was a little more than just,
yeah.
I don't like
well,
it. It makes me uncomfortable.
I'm just going to read this to you.
Yeah.
It says, back in August 2019, Kevin Burling, an employee at Gravity Diagnostics in Covington, Kentucky, mm-hmm. told his office manager that he didn't want a birthday celebration put together for him, mm-hmm. mentioning that having a lot of attention on him causes him an immense amount of stress.
Mm-hmm.
When his birthday came on August 7th, 2021, the employer threw him a party anyway.
Mm-hmm.
They did it as a company luncheon.
Yeah, big party.
Yeah. Burling suffered a panic attack after leaving the surprise party.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. That's so bad. He later sent his office manager a text message, and then Burling was called into a meeting the next day. And this is a quote. The person who was responsible for the birthday parties who he talked to flat out forgot about his request. And there was a lot of back and forth. And they said during the meeting, the employer allegedly told Burling that he stole the other coworker's joy because he was uncomfortable with the party.
Yeah.
And then also a quote says, according to my client, she started reading him the riot act and accused him of stealing other coworkers' joy. Oh, I just said that. But basically, to make a long story short, because of his anxiety disorder mm-hmm. and him flat out telling them in advance,
right.
like, I don't want this. Please don't do this. He's getting bank.
Yeah. And I think this brings to light a really important issue, right? There's some of us that would read this and go, dude, seriously, you were a little uncomfortable with a birthday party and now you're Mm-mm. suing? That's ridiculous.
I don't think it's ridiculous.
I don't think it's ridiculous either, because you have to look deeper than just the surface of the story. If you or anybody that you've known closely actually has to deal with social anxiety and social disorders like this, you know how traumatic it can be for an individual to have all that attention put on them. Some of us don't mind the attention. Some of us are like, yeah, big deal.
Hey, there are some people that crave the attention.
Well, yes, yes, there are.
Yeah.
And there's some that get up in front of an audience and can talk and do speeches, and it's no big deal.
Right.
And others, the thought of even going into a store where you think people are going to merely notice you, it's actually crippling.
Yes.
And this is something that I know a lot for a long time people would just dismiss it, even make fun of it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a real, genuine issue that people have to deal with. And this fella really had social anxiety, serious social anxiety.
Seriously, like 20 years ago, and I'm being totally honest and real with you, 20 years ago, if I would have read this story, I would have been like, dude, seriously?
Oh, my reaction would have been like, son, get over that.
But now, being educated on what I know about mental health disorders and going through it myself.
Right.
I can sit here and talk to you behind this microphone all day because it's just me and Seth in a room.
Right.
And we're comfortable with each other. We've worked together for years. We know each other.
Yeah.
When I do have to get in front of people, I'm not as comfortable, and I do suffer from anxiety sometimes. And I remember a couple of years ago, I had to speak at a women's conference. I was the keynote speaker.
I remember that.
Remember?
You were sweating bullets before you had to go to that.
Bubble guts all week long.
Yeah. But
I had headaches, anxiety. I vomited for 2 weeks straight.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't think. It was all I could do to make it through. And when I tell you, it wasn't just in my head. Some people say, oh, these things are all in your head. When I tell you, I prayed on it and I had physical problems from this anxiety. It calls this physical stress.
Yeah.
This is real. So what unnerves me about this whole situation is this guy, you know, you trust the people you work with. You trust your boss.
You should be able to.
And you go to them and you say, hey, I have not only just a little problem with anxiety,
but it's so serious.
I have a serious problem and I am begging you, please don't do this. Mm-hmm. I'm not comfortable. Mm-hmm. And they were like, you're still in other people's joy.
Mm-hmm.
Totally disregarding his feelings. It's his birthday.
Right.
And they accuse him of stealing other people's joy. Are you kidding me? Like, what the?
Yeah.
I mean, let me calm down, but I'm just saying, what in the world?
And so I think something good can come out of this situation is the realization, yes, there's going to be people that are going to hear the story, hear us talking about it, and go, oh, please, just get over it, dude. That's that's nothing to sue over. Okay, and there's probably nothing we can do to change that mindset.
No.
However,
if you don't know, you don't know.
Exactly. However, there are going to be some individuals that are going to hear it and understand the depth of what happened.
Yes.
And it will give them the ability that the next time they encounter it to perhaps be a little more aware and show a little more of a godly love toward other people, godly understanding of what they're going through.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully that is the outcome of us talking about it.
I hope so. Yeah. It's always just good to understand somebody else's perspective. And I've had to learn that a lot because I don't know about you, but sometimes it is so easy just to be all about yourself. It's so easy just to be like, me, me, me.
See, I've never been like that. I've always been this kind, caring, outgoing individual. My empathy, it just overflows.
Okay.
And it just, the reality is I don't care.
Okay.
We've talked about that.
We have.
Yeah.
We have. But when you can step outside of your own self and just think, you know what? It's not all about me.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. The only way I have found that happens is I've got to pray and ask for God to give me the ability to do it because I can't do it on my own.
But that's the first step.
Yeah.
That's the first step. Okay, one more thing.
One more.
Easter was last month. Hello. But even though Easter was last month, we can live like Easter is every single day. One thing I am working on in my own personal life is the I get so excited about Easter Sunday. Like, I'm just like, it's like my favorite holiday, and not just because of the ham after church.
Or the chocolate.
You know what?
Mm.
You so get me. I am just so super excited because even from being a believer, and given my life to Christ so many years, it is still so hard to believe, like, he did all of that for me. He didn't even know I was going to love him back. And he did all of that for me. Like, I just sit and just think about all of that. Like, every single year, I'm still like, oh, my goodness. And I just get so hyped up about it. So one thing I'm trying to do in my own personal life is keep that feeling. The excitement I get when Easter rolls around, I want to keep that.
Year round. Yeah.
And so I actually found this, and I just want to read it real quickly. It says, I am a Christian. When I say that I am a Christian, I am not shouting that I am clean living. I'm whispering, I was lost, but now I'm found and forgiven. When I say I'm a Christian, I don't speak of this with pride. I'm confessing that I stumble and need Christ to be my guide. When I say I'm a Christian, I'm not trying to be strong. I'm professing that I'm weak and I need his strength to carry on. When I say I'm a Christian, I'm not bragging of success. I'm admitting I have failed and need God to clean my mess. When I say I'm a Christian, I'm not claiming to be perfect. My flaws are far too visible, but God believes I'm worth it. When I say I'm a Christian, I still feel the sting of pain. I have my share of heartaches, so I call upon his name. When I say I'm a Christian, I'm not holier than thou. I'm just a simple sinner who received God's good grace somehow.
Thanks for listening. If you have questions or comments, send them to podcast@spiritfm.com. This is a production of Positive Alternative Radio.
The Jesus Fix It podcast is brought to you by Mardell Christian Education Stores, which provide a vast selection of faith-based products and supplies for both classroom and homeschool teachers. You can find Mardell exclusive brands in their education, church supply, and gift departments, you know, like Renewing Minds and The Brainery. Toys for the kiddos from Melissa and Doug, science and craft activity kits, they're all 30% off. And you can view their weekly ad and what's on sale anytime you like by simply downloading the Mardell app.
Good to Go is another encouraging podcast you'll love. Join host Christian Suter weekly as he tracks down people doing good things for others. You'll be inspired and reminded that there's always something good going on when you search Good to Go, wherever you get your podcasts.